So today, wanted to go over the subject of the Last Supper, commonly known as the Last Supper, because this week, historically, which happened almost 2,000 years ago, is perhaps the greatest week of all time for mankind. And it's the week that Jesus Christ gave his life and was raised from the dead. You know, he was crucified, as we know. He was put in the earth. 3 days and three nights later, he was raised from the dead. And it was the fulfilling of a good portion of the promise of redemption that God promised man back in Genesis 3:15. And it was the plan of redemption is not fully completed, but that was a major chunk of that plan of redemption, that God was going to save mankind and make sonship available and eternal life and the many things that we have. And it happened this particular week almost 2,000 years ago. And it's an incredible week. In the Christian circles, it's often called, and Jewish circles, called the Holy Week. And it's called a week because actually it's the Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread from Israel's point of view. And Passover was about a week long and then moved right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was a week long. And a lot happens every year with Israel. But that particular year, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Passover lamb, gave himself, sacrificed, and the things that have occurred since then. So it's an incredible week. The shocking thing is that as big as it is, very few Christians know the details of what actually happened. Be like a married couple getting married. You know, getting married is a pretty big day in your life. Doesn't happen all the time. Even if you're married four times, it's only four times in your life. But, you know, your married day is, wedding day is a big day. To not remember very much of what happened, or, you know, you don't remember if you got up, I mean, if you had got married in the morning, or you got up married at night, or you don't know what state you got married, you don't know who you got married to, you'd think that was a little odd. But when people start looking at this week, Christians, there's very little detail that they actually know about what happened and when it happened, which is pretty surprising. But the accuracy of God's word still stands, and it's laid out very clearly and exactly in God's word of what happened. Today I'd like to look at the Last Supper. Being I like food, we all like to eat. But no, the Last Supper, and I'm sure we've all seen the picture of Jesus sitting at a table with his 12 apostles, looking very somber at the Last Supper. I don't know who did the painting, but it's a world-renowned, known picture, and depicts the Last Supper. And tradition states that they were eating the Passover meal, but scripturally that is not correct. They did not eat the Passover meal. Jesus Christ wasn't alive when they got to the Passover meal, but it was his Last Supper. They got that right. It just refers to it in the Gospels as the supper, or a supper. But it turned out to be literally his Last Supper. And to get a running start of Passover, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 12. Passover was an event that happened when the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt. He was bringing the children of Israel out of the clutches of Egypt and out of the bondage of Egypt into the start of heading towards the promised land. And the night before they left, they were supposed to do, they were supposed to sacrifice this animal in the afternoon and then do certain things. But it's over a number of days, this whole thing. And here's chapter 12. Giving specific information of the Passover being instituted. And verse 3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. You shall let nothing remain of it until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." When they were to eat it that night, it wasn't a leisurely, thank you, Susan, a leisurely meal. You know, like if you go out to dinner with your wife or other people, it's, you know, generally, unless you're in a hurry to get someplace, you know, you take your time eating. This was not the case. This, they were supposed to have their staff in their hand, shoes on their feet, standing up, ready to roll. And so it was a little, you know, that was part of what it was. And then they left Egypt, and whoever, you know, the next day, and whoever did this, put the blood on the lintel and all that stuff, the Lord would pass over that household, and the firstborn would stay alive. So it was, and it was something that God instituted for Israel to do year after year after year, and for the Last Supper to be the Passover meal, where Jesus and the apostles were eating the Passover meal, he would have to replicate this to be accurate. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Now, in looking at how to figure this out, one of the wonderful keys of research, basic keys to researching the Bible to find the accuracy of God's word, is a term called scriptural buildup. And basically it means one part of the God's word pertaining to a subject may not give all the information, and several other parts of the Bible may give similar information or adding information, and you kind of have to put them all together. You build up all these scriptures to get the full story. Anything that's dealing with the Gospels, one of which is majorly Jesus Christ, you've got to look at all four Gospels, because all four give different parts of Jesus Christ's ministry, his life, and some Gospels will give more information on a subject than others. Sometimes three of them will give information concerning an occurrence, and the other one's completely silent, or vice versa. So you've got to, one of the principles of figuring this all out is to allow scripture buildup to go. So to begin with, this particular year that this occurred, the 10th of Nisan, which we just read, was supposed to be the start of the preparations for the Passover. That particular year, the 10th of Nisan was Saturday. And Saturday was a Sabbath, and they're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. So they weren't able to select the lamb that particular year on the Sabbath day. They couldn't do their preparations, the start of the preparations, on the Sabbath day. They had to wait till the next day, which would be the Sunday the 11th, which would be today. And also, I didn't mention in Exodus where it said in the evening, they were to sacrifice it in the evening. It's actually in the center margin, it mentions in between the evenings, and it's a Hebrew word that stands for when the sun is starting to go down, which after noon time, the sun starts to go down, and they were supposed to sacrifice it as in the evening, which just means as the sun's going down. The Talmud, which was information and a lot of information, technical information about the Old Testament law by Jewish leaders, scribes and such, they said that often the sacrifice was between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. Josephus, the historian of in the New Testament times, he said often it was done at 3 o'clock. So it doesn't mean in the evening, like that night, because it was in the afternoon as the sun was setting, so to speak, or going down. So the first place we're going to go to is John chapter 19. I told you that, right? John 19, and one other thing. Sorry. A lot of the Passover deals with preparation. There were 5 days of preparation, then the actual Passover meal that last day. And it's all lumped as considered Passover. So the preparation being the selection of the lamb, the protecting of the lamb, the removing it from the sheepfolds and the goats and protecting that lamb. And it also dealt with ceremonially cleaning your house. If it was unclean, they would get out the leavened bread, leavened stuff to clean their house. The priests and Levites were to cleanse themselves. If the temple had been defiled, which some years it was, they had to clean the temple. So there was preparation involved with being correct in God's sight. There's an example when Hezekiah was king and they was reinstituting the Passover, and the people hadn't purified themselves, the temple didn't have their act together, the priests didn't have their act together, and Hezekiah saw this and he said, remember what he said, good Lord, pardon these people. And God overlooked it because they just didn't have their act together. But there was those preparations, they just hadn't been taught, their heart was in the right place, but they didn't have the five senses together from what they were required to do, but God pardoned them. So that's all part of these understanding how we come about the week of Jesus Christ's last life. So John chapter 19, verse 31, we see the mention of preparation. This is Jesus Christ. This is the chapter that deals with him being on the cross. He dies. And verse 30, he says, you know, it is finished. He bows his head, gives up the spirit, and he is dead. And verse 31 says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, and this is referring to the preparation of the Passover. It was during that 5-day period. Because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, because they couldn't handle dead people, and then go to Passover, they would be considered defiled. So they had to remove his body, put him in a grave before sunset. And then the next part of it says, for that Sabbath day was a high day. The next day was a Sabbath day, but it wasn't the regular Sabbath day on the Saturday. It was Passover. And so they had to get Jesus off the cross into the earth before sunset. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. They wanted to break their legs to expedite killing, you know, that each person was dead, so they can get everybody off the crosses. But it was during this preparation. Now, if Jesus had eaten the Passover meal on the Last Supper, there's a problem here. He already died. He died before he got there. Because this was still during the preparation time, and he died on the cross. Verse 42 says, they laid Jesus there because of the Jews' preparation, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So, again, that, and the day he died was still part of that preparation period in what we read in Exodus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. So Jesus Christ dies. The next day was a high day, a high Sabbath, and it was the Passover. It's actually the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, technically. Matthew chapter 26. We're just going to, this may seem a little disjoint, but I'm trying to cover something in a half hour that really is hours and hours of teaching. But this book here, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, written by Dr. Victor Paul Wirwell. Most of you have this. This is my newer copy. My other one's so old it fell apart. But I don't know any other book that's like this, that gives so much information and detail of this whole week period. And it's just a great book to read. If you haven't read it in a while, it probably will really bless you. It's got so much in it. And it's laid out so simply, but with incredible accuracy. And to see the accuracy in God's Word is just, it's amazing. So anyway, it may bless you to read it. If you don't have it, I can get you a copy. So probably, I don't know what they cost, probably $15, $20. So, Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. Now going into this, Jesus Christ didn't know exactly when he was going to die or what was going to happen, but here it gives a little more detail. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Now, a couple things here. The words "the feast of" are in italicized words, and they're really incorrectly supplied. So if you just read, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." The word "after 2 days" is also properly translated "after 2 days had passed." So this is on, he's speaking this on a Sunday, which is today's day, so to speak, to us. You know, they're trying to rename Palm Sunday High Five Sunday. You know that, right? Anyway, okay. Just a little humor. Not that much. So you know that after 2 days, it's referred to after 2 days are passed. So he's speaking it actually late Sunday. Monday has to pass, Tuesday has to pass, and then Wednesday is what this is referring to. And you know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed and is crucified. So now he knows that in a couple days, he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be crucified. So he's getting some more information as to when things are going to start to happen, which is wild that, you know, Jesus Christ, as we know, he walked with God. He's going into something that he perhaps knew that, yeah, maybe this is going to be it, but with no detail. And it really shows how he walked with peace in his heart. He wasn't all frantic and nervous about, oh, what am I going to do? When's it going to happen? Come on, God, tell me this and that. And, you know, he's just walking. And as he gets information, then he knows. And when he doesn't have the information, he doesn't know. So what he knows now is that after 2 days time from Sunday, he will be betrayed and then he will be crucified. The other part of this is pretty wild, is that he's telling this to his disciples, and it's a kind of baffling to them because they're seeing him as this mighty miracle worker, a man who's preaching the greatness of God's words, proclaiming he's the Son of God, and now he's saying he's going to be crucified. Crucifixion was the worst, demeaning way to be killed, and it just didn't compute. And it was a little puzzling for them, but he's letting them know that, you know, we're going to be crucified soon. So things are developing in his understanding. So let's go now to verse 17 of Matthew 6, 26. We get, you know, he goes over some things. A woman anoints him with oil and some other things. And in verse 17, we pick it up. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" So it's a great question. Now, the word day is in italics, and it's incorrectly supplied. It should be, "And now the first," and then "feast of" should be removed. "Now the first of the unleavened bread." And unleavened bread was that feast. It was a whole week. It started on the 15th, which would be Thursday, this week's Thursday. Passover, where they ate the Passover, was technically Thursday, the 15th, but it was Wednesday night, as we would know Wednesday night, because just as a reminder, Jewish reckoning of time started at sunset, and the day went all the way around to the next sunset. And so in our thinking, we have it really smart. We start our new day at midnight. But the nice thing about it is when you wake up, it's, say, Monday, and all until you go to bed, unless you're a late bird, is still Monday. So it's a little easier for thing. But in the Bible, you could be awake during two periods of time. You could be awake all day Sunday, and after tonight's 6 o'clock, you're now into Monday, technically. So here, the last day of Passover is really the start of unleavened bread. So this is the first, and it's referring again to the, it's not referring to the day, but it's referring to the early preparations of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would be the picking of the sacrificial lamb, the preparing, all the preparations involved. So this is talking about preparing for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which included the Passover meal. So they say, you know, this is their understanding. They understand this culture and this timing. They say, "Where do you want for us to prepare for this Passover?" And he gives them some information, very specific information as to what to do, where to go. They sent them into Jerusalem, and they prepared the room for Passover. Because at this point, Jesus only knew that sometime Wednesday, but didn't know when, he would be betrayed and would be crucified. So he doesn't know the detail. He doesn't know if the betrayal will start, when it'll start, and how long it'll be. So he's in preparing for a Passover to take the, you know, do the Passover meal. Let's go to, we'll stay in chapter 26. We'll move to the next verse. That's funny. Okay, verse 18. "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." So they get the place ready. It's during that preparation period. "Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. This is the same, this is Monday. Before we were talking about Sunday, then it goes into Sunday night, which is technically Monday. Then sometime Monday morning or afternoon, he instructs a couple of disciples to go prepare for the Passover. And then that evening is Monday, before the evening, before the change of the date. "And then when evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now this, the reason why they often think that this is the Passover, because they just said they went and prepared for the Passover, and now he's sitting with the 12 to eat. But what they don't understand is these believers went and prepared for something that was going to happen a couple days in the future. you know, a couple days coming up on Passover, but Passover hadn't come yet. So he is eating with the 12, of which he was doing this entire week. He was going, staying in Bethany and eating at different places. He ate at Lazarus' house, he ate at Simon's house. It doesn't say where he was on this particular night, but he was eating in the evenings and then going into Jerusalem to the temple during the day. And so when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." So it's the start of this meal, but it's not the Passover meal. It's a supper, it's a dinner, but it's not the Passover meal. Keep your finger here because we're coming back, but go to John chapter 13. I know I'm kind of going through this quickly, but and there is a lot of detail, but I would really strongly suggest rereading or working that Jesus Christ or Passover for the first time, perhaps. There's just so much information. But chapter 13, we see a little bit more information, which is the start of this supper. Verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." So here it's saying Jesus knew the hour. We read a verse earlier where it says, after 2 days have passed, I am going to be betrayed and crucified. Here, which is during this supper, he realizes that his hour, he knows now his hour. It's getting more information. Verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." So somewhere in, we're going to go back to Matthew 26. Somewhere in that supper time, God showed him, slipped it to him, your hour is coming. And he now knew the hour, the time frame of what was going to happen. The day before, or the morning before, that morning, Monday morning, he didn't know. That's why he sent those disciples to go prepare for Passover. Now in the evening when they're eating, God shows them when he was going to die. And then what a night this ended up being. Little did those apostles and disciples that were there have any clue at what was going to befall them that evening. Including Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ knew what was going to be happening. He just didn't know when. Now he knows when. And back to chapter 26, verse 21, starting with verse 21, an incredible amount of events that go on. It says, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He," you know, so they're wondering, well, who's the MF that's going to betray our Lord? And they're so uncertain, they are even wondering if they themselves are going to do it. They don't know. They are just confused. But it's a shocking thing to hear. Jesus Christ saying, "Hey, one of you guys is going to betray me." It's just a shocking thought even. And his answer is, "He that dippeth with his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." And as actually last week we went over Eastern mannerisms a little bit, and the way they didn't use forks and knives and spoons like we do. They ate more like kids do. You know, they just grab stuff and stuff it in their mouth. They ate with flat pieces of bread. I guess we would call it pita bread in today's time, similar to a pita bread. Is that right, Susan? So a thin, flat bread. What kind of bread?
Flat.
flatbread. Yeah, it doesn't have any big bumps in it. But they would take that, put some food in it, and dip it into a common bowl that had whatever it had in it, sauces or whatever, and they would scoop it, and they would use the same bowl. So he's saying he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So we're all eating out of the same bowl. So this, he's giving information, but not enough for them to really figure out who it is that's gonna do the dirty deed. And also, it's in the East when they ate, they often, it was a, you just didn't eat with just anybody. You ate with those who you trusted and loved and respected. And they would often have food, salt in the food. And it was more than just going out to McDonald's and meeting somebody. And, you know, it was a real important thing. You didn't just eat with anybody. It's hard to eat with somebody you really don't enjoy being around. You ever tried it? It's, you know, it's just one-on-one with somebody that hates your guts. It's a hard thing to do. Well, back then they also ate with those they loved, those they respected, those they stood with. So he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So that's giving them, showing that, hey, it's one of us, one of you guys. Verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, You said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. So he's moving on to another thing. Now remember what we read in John? Satan entered into Judas's heart and left. Here it doesn't bring that up. Which is interesting. But now he's going to institute the Holy what we call Holy Communion. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he institutes the Holy Communion, the broken body and the shed blood and all the things that are involved with that. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now it also doesn't show here, but it's in the Gospel of John, I believe, and some others, about where he washed all the disciples' feet. You know, he took a towel, wrapped himself with a towel, and got a basin of water, and washed each person's feet, and taught about service, and that a servant is, you know, to serve. It's greatness deals with service, not with, you know, the world has a triangle where the pinnacle, the biggest cheese is on the top of the pinnacle. The word has a total opposite. The biggest, the greatest person is the servant. The point is on the bottom, you know, this, and he's teaching service. So they got a big lesson on service that night. They got introduced to the memorial of communion that night. They got introduced to knowing that somebody was going to betray him. It was one of them that night. They go out into the Mount of Olives. They're singing, and then a few chapters of Gospel of John, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, deal with this night. And he goes into showing about the olive trees, olive branches, and, you know, the gardening and the lifting up of the branches and what their lives were going to do to help lift people's lives up. Just incredible teachings that went on that night. The Comforter, remember we went over that last year, the Comforter and what that represented, and just so much stuff that was given those night. Verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, Jesus was not moved by his heroics. And Peter just couldn't think of himself as somebody who was going to flee from Jesus Christ and walk away. It was too shocking for his thought. And so he's like, no, I'm never going to do that. And God just showed Jesus, he's going to deny you, you know, three times before the cock crows. And so he tells Peter that. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. What a night this is. You know, it started off as just being an evening after the temple, being with the disciples. The 12 apostles were involved. It wasn't the Passover meal. And it turns into this. You know, it's just these guys are like on the merry-go-round, getting dizzy. He saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, referring to the responsibility of redemption, the carrying out of redemption, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them wide awake, praying, standing alert.
No.
Cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, he's looking for another way to do the plan of redemption. He doesn't know if there's another way, so he's asking. So he's asked now a second time. I can understand it. I'd probably ask 500. You sure? I'm a verifier. Susan's always making fun of me. I'm verifying everything. You sure that's what the... I'd probably say verification king. Verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And right after that, Judas comes up with the temple guards, and it was a large group of men with armament to come get Jesus Christ, and they do capture him. They take him to the temple palace and stuff like that, or the palace, and then starts the betrayal. The betrayal happened there at that garden with Judas, and then the beating start. And then 40 hours later was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that evening after the crucifixion was the Passover meal. So he never did get to eat the Passover meal. He became the Passover, God's chosen Passover lamb that year. It's interesting that Sunday is when Jesus Christ learned that he would be the Passover lamb. It was the selection of the lamb supposed to be on Saturday. God honored his own law, no work on Saturday, the Sabbath, and he slipped it to him on Sunday. The rest of Israel was selecting their Passover lamb on Sunday for that year. God did his selection with Jesus Christ on Sunday. But what a night and a day that was. Upon rising, Jesus was not aware of the detail. He was going to have dinner that night with the apostles and other disciples. Doesn't say where he had it, and doesn't say exactly who was there. We know the 12 apostles were there, but there may have been other believers there as well. And then to go into that supper, then being told that the hour, then he starts instructing some things. He deals with Judas, tells everybody else somebody's going to betray. Does the start of the memorial service, the service thing with the foot washing. They walk. He teaches all these different things that are listed in the Gospel of John. Incredible truths. Of things of the future, and then gets captured and off he goes. Who knows if he got any sleep from that point on? Doesn't say. So, for those of us that sometimes have a sleepless night, he's had them. That's for sure. So, but what an incredible evening for both him and those 12 apostles.